It'll be up there on the slides as well. Just want to read through it and then we will pray. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active, Lord, and that you move in our hearts, God, to make us more like you through it. I pray that you would have your way in this time, God, that you would speak to us and that you give us the word that we need, God. Each one of us is in a different place in life, God, and I pray that your word would go deep into our hearts, God, that your spirit would move us to trust you more, God. And so we pray that you'd have your way in this time, God, make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you guys doing this morning? You awake? Welcome back to the students. It's good to have you guys here. Hope you guys had a good break. I wanted to look at this psalm. It's a familiar psalm to some of you. Probably the most famous passage in all the Bible. It's read a lot at weddings. It's in movies. You see this psalm a lot. And it's usually in the context of death, right? At a funeral, this is oftentimes the psalm that's read. The valley of the shadow of death. These themes about God being our shepherd. And so a lot of people go here when life runs out, right? When people die, we have services, we have funerals, and this is a comforting psalm. But what I want us to see this morning is that this psalm isn't so much for people that are dying, but it's about the shepherd and how he cares for the sheep currently. This psalm is for us presently. There are implications here that if we take these things, can help shape our lives to trust God more. If you look at the beginning of the psalm, it says it's a psalm of David. And David himself was a shepherd, right? And so many scholars believe that this is David in his latter years of life. And he's looking back and he's saying, wow, God has been faithful. David was shepherding sheep, right? If you look at 1 Samuel 16, we see that David was, it was his duty to take care of the sheep. And this wasn't a job that you wanted. Right, if you think about a job you've had that you're like, that was the worst job I've ever had, this would be that job. You're stuck with the sheep. He's the youngest one. When Samuel comes to Jesse, David's father, he's like, okay, we need a new king of Israel, and God's led me here. It's one of your kids. They don't even think to call David. He's just out there taking care of the sheep. He's insignificant. He's too young. He's being overlooked. And 1 Samuel 17 tells us that David was a shepherd in the wilderness. And some of you can relate to being in the wilderness. You feel like it's a dry season for you. You feel like when I pray, I just feel like my prayers aren't even going up to God. Is God even listening? There are certain times in life when we find ourselves in the wilderness. And David knew what it was like to be in the wilderness. And what happens is that the wilderness can either bring the best out in you or could bring the worst out, right? Like how many of you guys have been in a season that's tough and you feel like, man, I just feel like I'm getting worked here. And you start complaining, right? That's kind of like our go-to. That's what I do. I'm like, why is this happening? Like, why is this trial here? And you're struggling and you're kind of wondering, why does God have me here? What's the reason why I'm here? When we look at the children of Israel, we see that they fell into that. Right? God brought them in the wilderness to test them. They failed the test. They complained. They stayed in the wilderness longer than they needed to. David was faithful with his time in the wilderness. His gifts were being unrecognized. His faithfulness to God was being overlooked. Some of you are serving God and no one's even paying attention to it. And you're like, man, I'm not even getting recognition for what I'm doing. And we have to remember why we do what we do. God exposes our hearts and says, why are you actually serving me? Why are you trying to live in integrity in your job when no one's looking? And God tests us, and he wants us to see ourselves, what is in our hearts, where are we truly at with God? And David has had his time in the wilderness as a shepherd. Some of our lowest points in life can be our best times with God. Some of you can relate to that. Like, man, I went through this low time. I was depressed. I was down. I was discouraged. But God met me there. And if you didn't go through that low time, you never would have come to God. It's oftentimes when we're at our lowest that God meets us in that place. We have to remember who our God is, right? And in Psalm 23, David is reminding himself of the faithfulness of God. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have been keeping these sheep, but in all of my life, whether I've been keeping sheep or I've been the king of Israel, God is the one who's been shepherding me. And I love that. His work is like a living parable of the character and nature of God. As he's keeping those sheep, he's understanding, I'm like one of these sheep. I love seeing some of you parents with your kids, right? These kind of connections where you're like, you understand the Father's love on a deeper level now that you've had a kid. You're like, I know God is my Father. I know I'm his son. But when you have a child, you're like, wow, this reality, you see your kid throwing a fit, and you're like, that's like me. We do that all the time with God. And yet, what does God do? How do you feel toward your kid? You still love your kid. You love your children. And so we've got to allow these things in our life to be a living testimony of the faithfulness of God. Some of you guys are in school, and your roommates, person is messy. They're driving you crazy. You are that person so many times with God, right? Like, if we're honest, it's easier to see in them their shortcomings, but if we're honest, we're like, how many times are we like that with God? We're the guilty party with God. And so David is allowing his work to speak to him about the nature and character of God. Notice verse 1. He tells himself about God, right? He's like, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord isn't just the shepherd, right? Yes, God is the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us, but many of us can know things about God. We can have a right theology. Theology is just the study of God and his works. And sometimes we think that if we just have a good theology, that that's enough, that's sufficient. If we just ascend in our intellects to this information about the Bible, then that's enough. But the Bible would say you can't just allow this to be information in your head. You have to allow it to be information that transforms your heart. And David here is saying, the Lord isn't just a shepherd, he's my shepherd. Paul says this in another place. He says, according to my gospel, he personalizes it. We have to preach to ourselves every day that we're saved by the grace of God. We have to preach to ourselves about the good shepherd when you're going through hard times and you're like, man, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do for my job once I graduate. Where am I going to move? Who am I going to marry? You have to preach to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. He will be faithful to lead me. In verse 1, he says, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need a thing. If God is with me, I don't need anything else. It's been said that sometimes you don't know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. When the different crutches that we lean upon are pulled out from under us. and we're not left to, we can't trust in our bank account. We can't trust in our relationships. The places where we look for meaning and purpose, they're pulled out from under us. The psalm would encourage us to fall into the arms of the loving shepherd. That's the best place for us to be. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33 that make this a priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be taken care of. This is what David's saying. If God's my shepherd, if my relationship with God is right, that's the greatest thing in my life. I might go through hard times, but God is with me. Verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I love this. God makes us lie down in green pastures. How many of us are frazzled? We're anxious, we're bogged down, we're worried. And the Good Shepherd comes and he makes us lay down. Right? And David would have this picture in his mind. He's like, I've done this hundreds of times with the sheep, and God is doing this to me. He's leading me to a place where I could eat, a place where I could drink. He's giving us the sustenance our souls need physically. He's providing for us spiritually, emotionally. All that we need is found in who God is. It says that he restores my soul. We need that this morning. Our souls to be restored with God. I love the intimacy in the psalm. David's just like, this is who God is, and this is what he's doing, and this is what he means to me. This is from years of experience, being able to look back on the faithfulness of God. He reminds himself, when I was keeping the sheep and when I was leading a nation, God has been my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. As you think about getting direction for your life, as you think about the call that God has on you and where he will lead you, this is a verse you can go to, you can count on. That God will lead you in paths of righteousness, not for your sake, but for his sake. And this is a comforting thing because we oftentimes make it about us, right? Like, God, just we focus so much on ourselves. Like, God, just please lead me. Please help me. Please provide for me. Please open the doors. And God loves to hear our prayers, right? But notice why he does it. It's for his name's sake. The shepherd's reputation is on the line, and he says, I'm going to lead you for my name's sake. And when you understand that, that sets you free, right? It brings freedom to understand what the will of the Lord is. You make the kingdom of God a priority. You allow the Lord to be the focus in your life, and he will lead you. That's the promise from Scripture, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so as you prioritize God in your life, he's going to be leading you to where you need to be. You might say, am I supposed to do that job or this job? You might not hear an audible voice from God, but trust that God is leading you in that process. As you put and set the Lord before you, he's leading you. He's guiding you in which steps to take. And if you take a wrong turn, he's faithful to redirect you. It's not the end of the world. Some of us are paralyzed by fear, but we have to know that we're in the shepherd's care, and the shepherd is able to move us to where we need to be. We see this throughout the book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples to go out and preach the gospel in all the world, and they go certain places, and it says that the Holy Spirit forbid them from going to certain places. Like, well, I don't know what that looks like. It could be circumstantially. It could be God speaking through someone. Hey, don't go there. But God is faithful to redirect us. But some of us have to move, right? We have to get moving. We wait on the Lord, and we move as he leads us. And we're not paralyzed by fear because we understand the shepherd's leading us. I love Jesus' heart for the multitudes in his earthly ministry. In Matthew 9, verse 36, it says that he saw the multitudes. He saw all these people that were following him. They wanted to get food from him and hear his word. And it says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. When you look at people, do we see people through the eyes of Jesus? People that don't know God, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Are you frustrated with people and the things that they do? Or does your heart break for them? They don't know any better. As Jesus died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't know any better. And so I pray that God would work in our hearts to see people as he sees them. They're sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus said there are sheep who are not in the fold yet, but they're going to come in. That gives us hope. The people in your life who don't know God, Jesus is after them. Right? And Jesus says there's other people who will become believers. They'll become sheep. They're not in the fold yet, but they will come. And they're going to come through hearing the word of God. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so we never have to shy away from preaching the word of God. We want to preach the word of God faithfully and trust that God's going to give the fruit. Because there are sheep out there. They don't know they're sheep yet. They don't know they're believers. But they're going to come to faith in Christ. And our job is to proclaim the word of God. Notice verse 4. There's a shift here. David goes from speaking about God to speaking to God. If you notice these verses, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. And then in verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I love this. He goes from saying things about God. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me. He's restoring me. To speaking to God. And this is always where we want to be, right? We want to allow the things that we know about God to lead us in deeper relationship with God. And how do we do that? But through prayer. We preach to ourselves, but then we pray to God. It's like, "Hey, God, this is who you are for me." Notice that it's after the valley of the shadow of death. "Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." I was walking with my wife a few weeks back at night and rounding the corner to go to back to our house, and this thing like jumped out at me. So I jumped. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like what is that?" And it was my shadow. And I've never really had that happen, I don't think, maybe once, but I'll never forget that time, because I was really like, "Oh, something's like going to get me." I'm glad that my wife got to witness it. It was pretty funny. But I'm reminded of that because a shadow doesn't have any substance, right? And as he's speaking here about the valley of the shadow of death, you're picturing sheep, they're going through a valley. And there's like shadows, and like sheep get scared easily. And David's kind of painting this picture of saying like, death, the worst thing that could happen, like if you die, it's just a shadow. For those who are in Christ, death has lost its sting. People who don't know God fear death, which they should. When you're under the shepherd's care and you're one of his sheep, you have nothing to fear. What happens? The worst thing, you die. You're going to be with God forever and eternity, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. And so David's saying, even though I'm in the lowest point of my life, I'm not going to fear any evil because God's presence is with me. God will oftentimes take us through the valley so that we might experience more intimacy with Him. If you only experience good things in your life, you'd be very shallow, right? We know that. If you see someone that's been super protected from any harm, any evil, any of the harsh realities of life, we have to go through certain things. God wants to deepen us as people. He wants to deepen our faith. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 that God comforts us so that we might comfort other people with the comfort which we receive from God. I love that. So as we're going through the tough times in our life, as we're going through the valleys, we have to remember, okay, first of all, life's not about me. It's about the glory of God. It's about people coming to Jesus. And so my suffering might not just be for me. It might be for somebody else. That God is not always going to rescue us from the valley, but He's going to walk through with us in the valley. He wants to help us and comfort us so that we might give that comfort to other people. Some of you have been through some tough things. And these things can be like a thorn in your side. Like, why did these certain things happen to me? These things from my past, these things that haunt me, these things that I've done and the things that were done to me, they can paralyze us. But I want you to see that God wants to use those times to bless other people. There's been so many times where I've gone through something in my life and I'm like, man, should I share this with someone? Someone else is struggling with something similar. And I'm like, I don't really want to talk about that, but I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me, say, you got to be open because I've given you a testimony for a reason. It's not just to keep it to yourself. Can you humble yourself and share with people the hard things of your life and how God has brought you through those things? And you might say, like, I haven't figured it all out, but I know God's with me and He's working on me. God wants to use us in people's life. He wants to use the tough things that we go through to be a blessing to people. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this picture of the shepherd using the rod to, they would use a rod with like enemies and wolves and things that would try to get the sheep. And the staff for guidance. Right, you check out, see if the sheep have anything on their skin, if there's, they have a sickness, they have a lesion, kind of, it has a crook on the end of it, so they kind of just check out, like, okay, is the sheep okay? They're comforting for us. The God is with us. He's protecting us from the enemy, but He's also guiding us, even when it seems like we're walking in the dark. There's a verse that says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. I love that. You could experience the comfort of God even in a multitude of anxieties. In verse 5, notice how the shepherd cares. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Even in the presence of my enemies, God is there. There's intimacy to be had with God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In our darkest days, God is there. He anoints us with oil. The imagery kind of shifts here to from shepherd and a sheep to a host and his guest. Like we're coming out from the fold, out from outside, and into the house, and God is welcoming us as His guests. He's preparing that table there. He's anointing our head with oil. This was customary in this day. My cup overflows, signifying that your life, the portion that God has given you in this life, it's overflowing. You might feel like it's empty, but because of the gospel, every single person in here, our cup overflows because of Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. When we look at these psalms, there's like a trio of messianic psalms in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. These are psalms that speak of the Messiah and his work, what he's going to do, different aspects of his ministry. In Psalm 22, the very first verse, Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's been said that in Psalm 22, the shepherd dies for the sheep. In Psalm 23, the shepherd lives for the sheep. And in Psalm 24, the shepherd comes back for the sheep. I love seeing this in Scripture. There's so many ties in Scripture about the Messiah. But you can't understand that the Lord is your shepherd in Psalm 23 until you understand that the Lord gave his life for you in Psalm 22. That the reason that we know that God is good in John 10 speaks about Jesus being the good shepherd. Jesus takes this, Psalm 23, and he says, okay, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm saying to you, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. You have to look at how Jesus has loved you. You have to look at the sacrifice of Jesus, that he was forsaken so that you and I might be accepted. That as we look at verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There was no table for Jesus. Right? As he is looking at the cross, what happens? His disciples abandon him. And his enemies, they kill him. As our heads are anointed with oil, there was no oil for him. Right? There was Mary who anointed him for his burial. This anointing was, he was being anointed for his death. The thing that was coming on his head was a crown of thorns. As our cup overflows, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays three times, Father, if it's your will, remove this cup from me. The cup in the Bible signifies the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. And Jesus here is saying, if there's any other way than the cross, than me drinking this cup, remove it from me. And the Father was silent. There was no other way for you and I to be forgiven. Jesus had to drink the cup of God's wrath so that our cup might overflow. So that we would never have to question, does God really love me? Is he really for me? We can be assured of this truth that Jesus loves us. He gave everything for us. In John 10, Jesus says that, I am the good shepherd. How do we know the shepherd's good? The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. That's the ultimate expression of the goodness of God. The shepherd's not just there like, oh, if there's a threat, I'm out. He's like, I'm sticking with you. I'm protecting you. I will give my life for you. And Jesus is saying, I have given my life for you. This isn't just theoretical. I've actually done it. And so in verse 6, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Only goodness and mercy. Because you're under the shepherd's care, because the shepherd has given his life for you, all that's left for you is goodness and mercy. The shepherd goes before you to lead you. Goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. This doesn't mean that we're not going to experience suffering, as we've talked about. But this does mean we have an incomplete picture of life right now. When we stand before God, when we're with Jesus, it will all make sense. I can guarantee you that. The things that you suffered in this life, you're going to see it was goodness and mercy that was following me. It seems sometimes like God's killing me right now. Like I'm struggling. When you look back in eternity, you'll see that it was only goodness and mercy that was following you. Read Romans 8. Remind yourself of these truths. If God is for us, who can be against us? What could separate us from the love of God? There's nothing. There's no persecution. There's nothing that you can go through. There's no separation. There's no death. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I love this. He says that this is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a future that's awaiting those who have trusted in Christ, who are under the shepherd's care. In Revelation 7:17, we have a picture into the throne room of heaven. It says this, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I love that. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. It's an amazing thing that the Lamb is the shepherd. That the shepherd says, "I'm going to come, I'm going to die like a lamb, so that you might be with me for all of eternity." And even in heaven, Jesus is going to guide us to springs of living water. He's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. It will all make sense. And so we trust him. When we're in the dark, when we go through hard times, we remind ourselves, God is with me. God is for me. God loves me. He's shown me, ultimately, in the giving of his son. And so let's receive that this morning. For those of you who have some changes coming up soon this year, graduating, trying to figure out what God has for you, trust that as you seek the Lord, the shepherd is leading you. It's in his timing. Don't force it. Just seek him and his kingdom, and he'll show you where you need to be in his timing. I pray that the Lord would help us today and this week, that we wouldn't just remember this today, but we think about this tomorrow, and it would affect